This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This story could be absolutely true.
Oh.
In fact, it almost certainly is true.
What happened?
American cities want to be major league because of what it does for cachet.
Oh.
But if you're going to share this, I kind of want some more details. Because as much of a lot of us don't like the money being spent, the argument on the other side is paying to keep a sports franchise is worth it. As long as we know what we're up against. You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. I know that is confusing. I will explain everything. Because yesterday, Governor Kathy Hochul.
What did she say?
She was at a summit in New York City.
What big summit?
It was an economic thing. And at some point, while sitting down and doing an interview in front of a room full of people, the person asking questions brought up the money the state is spending on the new Bill Stadium set to open in about 22 months.
Billions of dollars.
No, $650 million.
Close to a half a billion dollars.
Over a half a billion dollars. How are you so bad at this?
Close to a billion dollars.
No, okay. $650 million in public funding is going into the stadium. And there are a lot of people who do not like that.
Yeah.
It became almost a defense of what the decision she made. She said that the state and Western New York were up against, and I quote, outside interests. She then went on to say, specifically, other places were ready to poach the Bills away.
Yeah, but they're owned by the Pegulas.
That's what I was wondering.
Put a pin
that
in
happen?
That. Put a pin in that.
And the Pegulas owned this team way before this stadium was built.
No, this is true. This is true.
So how does this all work?
I'm going to read you a quote.
I'm confused, Beth.
Quote from Kathy Hochul.
What did she say?
Other states were looking to recruit them. I know this for a fact. It is a small market. There are states and cities that were luring them. I had to close the deal because this is part of the identity of most of upstate New York. Then when someone argued that it would be the Pegula family and other owners of the team that would see the most profit, she responded, quote, I've made sure they are a Buffalo Bills team, not one of the five other cities I was in competition with.
Okay.
The idea being the other cities were coming to the Pegulas with
offers.
You got it. Offers for stadiums and cash and all of this stuff. So, Kathy Hochul says yesterday there were five other cities.
That don't have an NFL team, obviously.
Yes, that made a play for the Bills. And here's what's weird. This is where the conversation on the stadium pretty much ends yesterday. She doesn't say which cities were trying to lure them away. So you can't really follow up her claim, right? So it's easy to go BS. But on the other hand, it's almost certainly the truth.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could think of cities. I mean, you follow this closer to anybody in the room. Of cities that are NFL stars that would love to have a team.
Or had a team that no longer have a team.
St. Louis.
Yeah, so let's break that was the first one that came
St. Louis.
To my mind.
Well, so it's funny you bring that up. That might be the least likely of all of them.
All right.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. What cities wanted the Bills? And what cities would the Pegulas, who are a local family, be willing to uproot the Bills to go to? Because
I figure they'll take the best deal. If they're considering leaving, they're going to take the most cash. They don't care where they go.
Any other owner, I would agree with you. But I do want to think in my heart of hearts that if they were going to move this team, and I don't think it's out of the question, well, now it is with the lease and everything, but like it would have to be something so unique, it would be worth the blowback they would take personally for what they did. So you guys brought up St. Louis possibly. They lost the Cardinals. They lost the Rams. And for those who don't know, Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams, wanted a new stadium in St. Louis. They fought him. They fought him. They fought him. They finally agreed to give him one. Turns out he didn't want a new stadium. He just wanted to move to L.A. because he paid for that stadium in L.A.
With
his own money.
Right.
They sued Stan Kroenke, the city, and the NFL, and they won. I don't think after that the NFL would want to put another team
deal
in
with
that
St. Louis.
City. I don't think so.
Well, then I'm thinking of teams like cities like Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
But that would give you two teams in the state of Tennessee.
Oh, true.
Right?
What about, I mean, I'm thinking of like a rapidly growing city that could be a sports city for sure, and that would be Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas?
Well, how many teams is going to be in Texas?
That's the other problem. Is Austin Cowboys country?
I don't know.
So there's another.
I think Austin's the University of Texas country. I don't know if they have a specific, Texas team that they root for in pro football.
So I remember when the World Football League was the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Birmingham was their biggest franchise.
So Birmingham has been trying to find a franchise for years and years and years.
Right.
There is no NFL franchise in Alabama. In fact, is there a professional sports, Big Four sports franchise in Alabama?
I don't think so.
No.
It's just the University of Alabama.
It's all college.
You got it.
Yeah.
And Birmingham always does really well when they put minor league football teams in there. I think they were the best-selling group for the whatever the XFL was this year.
Mm.
So that is an option. But you guys are thinking small potatoes, man. What are you doing? Be smart. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. The number one city in America they would be going to?
Best football starved.
Yeah. Salt Lake City.
Wow.
They have the NBA right now?
Yeah.
They just got the NHL, and they sold...
There's NHL.
The Arizona Coyotes moved to Utah this year.
Kind of no man's land when it comes to football.
But is that a big city?
But they have a ton of money. They have a ton of money.
Where are they getting their money from? Bed Lake?
Yeah, they take all the salt out of it, sell it to you.
Money in salt.
We do that shaker. It's coming from Salt Lake. Bro, there's not an NFL team even in the region.
Not going to make much on booze in the stadium.
You say that. They set a record for alcohol sold in the state the first night of that NHL game.
Well, that's because it probably was so small before then.
But again, you guys are thinking small potatoes. There's one city that always comes up, and you know they would be in on it, and it actually would fit perfectly.
And it's
right
a big
now.
City.
Yes.
Because you got to have a big city to pull this off.
Understood.
For the support.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, yesterday, Governor Kathy Hochul in an economic conference said that she had to give the money to the Bills for this new stadium because there were five other cities that were trying to lure the Bills away. Toronto, man.
That's always on the list.
Well, you should. So it's always on the list. There's always businessmen from Toronto sniffing around. Mm. Right now, the Blue Jays, the baseball team, need a new stadium. So it wouldn't be out of the question.
Are they going to get rid of that Sky Dome?
It's almost 40 years old.
But it's like part of their skyline.
That's
now.
The problem.
Yeah.
That's
like it's in all their logos, everything they do, that thing is prominent.
It's become a major issue. But no,
it's their Eiffel Tower.
But they're going to need a new, I would say the CN Tower would be their Eiffel Tower.
No, that's their Eiffel Tower. Nobody cares about that little stick thing.
It stands out.
There's going to be a new stadium in Toronto in the next 10 years.
Mm.
And you're either going to have, you could offer a multi-use stadium for both football and hockey, or you could do two stadiums right next to each other.
Like Kansas City.
You got it. And, I mean, you could also put the CFL team in there and the soccer team. It would make perfect sense. It would all work. But again, I don't think any of the cities we named is where they would end up going. Because I said, my argument would be, if Pegula's going to leave his backyard.
Where's he going?
It's got to be for a big move. London was on that list.
Oh.
I bet you $1 million.
But they could do their own thing. They don't need the Pegulas. I mean, they got a lot of rich guys over there that could buy into this league.
So here's what you're not thinking about.
What?
For this to work, for the NFL to have a European division, you need four teams.
All right.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be one of them.
All right.
You can have two expansion franchises and get up to 34 NFL teams. You need one more established NFL franchise that is ready to move their operations. The next team that is ready to jump from their city will be in Europe, along with Jacksonville,
London.
And two more. Right, so you're going to have two teams in London, one team in Germany, and then either Spain or Scotland, whatever city pops up. I'm telling you, man.
Spain big on football?
I would bet you, so they're going to start playing games there. I would bet you...
Food's so spicy.
All of the money in my bank account that if this five... city story is real. One of those European cities was on that
the
list.
Spanish beers.
And I'll go even further. Save the tape. Within the next 10 years, there will be a four-team division with two expansion teams in Europe. In the NFL. There's too much money.
So it's going to be football all day, then. It's going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and you don't think that's what the NFL wants? Man.
It's too much.
Haven't we had this discussion, though? Like everybody's like, within 10 years, and then 10 years goes by. Within 10 years, it's going to happen.
Every year, they keep adding European cities.
What about Mexico City?
I don't think
they love it, too, man. They draw 100,000 people in the game.
Yeah, but the tickets don't cost what they cost in America. You get what I'm saying? I don't think there's enough money to support the franchise.
Wow. I mean, there's a lot of money in Mexico.
I understand, but you got to sell 9 games a year.
You get the cartel over here. You got the business guys over there.
It also comes down to advertising.
Yeah.
Right?
There's every game they're trying to sell me that Mexican beer.
Down
from the guy
list.
That paints the cars. He's very good.
Can I ask you a question? Like, yeah. you're the wrong guy to ask.
Oh, am I the wrong guy?
Well, you're not a diehard fan. You admit it. You're a casual fan. See the way you do your hands. It's, like, it's very casual.
I'm doing you.
Oh, he's actually doing you, okay? Okay. Kimmy, you've been a diehard Bills fan your whole life.
Yeah.
If the Bills left for London,
yeah.
are you still a Bills fan?
I don't know. It kind of feels like the connection's gone yeah. now, you know? I mean, it's not my team anymore.
Especially
I
guess not I
would.
Good.
It would be hard to jump to another franchise. To your point,
well,
like I don't know who I would support at that point. So maybe I would still be a Bills fan, but it wouldn't be the same.
So you'd go back to being like what it was before the Bills. You'd be Giants. You'd be Steelers. You'd be Browns.
Yeah,
it'd be
three.
Weird. It'd
it
be
would.
A weird
because you're not going to root for the Bills. Go overseas and they, you know, they're a 500 team at best.
I don't care if they win a Super Bowl. They leave. I'm not cheering for them.
Yeah,
I
you're
can't
bailing.
Do it, right? But it would be weird to all of a sudden have to love another
yeah,
team.
Yeah, and like, how do I choose? You know what I mean? I have no connection to any other. Maybe at the time, maybe I'd pick a player that I want to root for, a quarterback that I really like. So that's my new team. But I don't know. It would be hard to totally separate yourself from the Bills.
Where does the passion come from, right? There's that built-in passion of loving this since we were kids. Like,
yeah.
you know, I always wonder, like, teen folks from St. Louis, folks from
yeah,
other
like,
cities.
Do they still wear their Rams stuff?
But, like, how do you watch football? Do you watch football? Do you hate the NFL so much that you shut it out?
Yeah, because they stiffed you.
Yeah. And, like, the thing that sucks the most, too, it's such a Bills thing. Like, no, we don't have to worry about this, again, because the Leafs, they're not going anywhere,
yeah.
right? Great. Awesome. But, like, the closest team in proximity, which would, I guess, be our new hometown team, would be Cleveland. And, of course, with all the heartache the Bills fans have taken, now we got to take on the Browns.
Yeah.
Now we got to be Browns
well,
fans.
Well, you could take the Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers.
It's too far away.
Well, they win more.
No, it's the same, probably the same distance.
Three. But it's 4.5. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, probably equally.
Easier route, though. Right down the 90. Bang, you're there.
Both affordable compared to the Giants.
Yeah. Who wants to be a Giants
Would you
fan?
Still feel the same connection to the Bills if they just went over the border?
No. I'm out. Hey, you leave.
Toronto?
Really?
You,
I feel
no,
like that
you
I
go
would
to the game?
Still no. feel somewhat close.
No. I'm out.
Okay.
You walk and I'm out. Because you're not going to be the Toronto Bills. You're going to change the name of the franchise. You're going to do a rebranding. And look, you still left for greener pastures. I want no part of that.
All right.
Again, we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
But like going back to the actual story with, you know, Kathy Hochul defending her decision, right?
Yeah.
You know, we don't normally really defend politicians on this show. And you know personally where I stand about giving money to billionaires who own sports franchises, right? Not a
yeah,
big
you
fan.
Don't, you don't spend any money on their crap.
No, I will spend my money so you don't have to spend your tax money. That's my argument. I give you enough money. You make enough money. You shouldn't need everyone else's money.
So you're doing it for us.
Yes, you're
Thank
welcome.
Thank you.
But the governor is in a very tough spot in this situation, because if she gives them the money, which she did, she has people very upset when that money is needed in other places. But if she stands her ground and says no, and this team does pick up and leave, she forever goes down in history as the person who lost the Bills.
Yep.
And I know there are people that think that's not possible and you should play hardball, but we'll wrap the story up with this.
What's that?
It already happened.
To who?
The Bills.
What do you mean?
When Ralph Wilson was looking for his new stadium, the one that they play in now,
yeah.
he opened up negotiations with other cities because the state and the county played hardball with him. And Seattle, who didn't have the Seahawks yet, it was 1971, flew him out, and they gave him a proposal, and they showed him a model of
they
a
did
the whole
wine
and dine.
Dome stadium.
Damn. Oh.
They
so that was the kingdom.
On top
yes.
of that.
What eventually became the kingdom. They offered him the stadium and said, this would be yours. And Ralph Wilson agreed to the deal. The deal was done. If you don't believe me, you can Google it. There are.
So how did it go sour?
He came back. He made his announcement. He got together with New York and Erie County. Something happened in the last minute.
Oh, yeah, you know what happened.
Yes. Well, he got his stadium.
Here comes the money truck.
Look, and that's just it. The stadium the Bills play in now was state of the art in 1973, 74 when they opened it up. I mean.
Yeah.
But you can go read the articles about how the Bills were leaving for Seattle. It happened already. Mm. So, like, I mean, it all comes down to, is the money that we're going to spend on this stadium, in your opinion, worth keeping the franchise around? Because it is necessary, and I hate it, but...
Provides a lot of jobs.
I mean, there's studies...
8 times a year.
There are studies that show that the economic impact of a sports franchise in a city creates tens of millions of dollars in revenue. There are those studies that show... It has the same effect as a Walmart.
Yeah.
But I don't know which one's true.
Walmart ain't getting you on television, son, every Sunday.
Walmart ain't getting you on television is my favorite Ribs Arkansas song.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The state is not messing around.
Ooh, they crack it down?
Look, it's hard to argue. The rollout of legal marijuana in the state wasn't bungled. They messed it up. But now they have their rules, and New York is enforcing them.
Good.
Something one place in our area just found out in devastating fashion.
It's impossible.
And if this doesn't get the shops to stop selling without a license, what the hell will? You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Jdaiga 7.0 is a business on Main Street in Canandaigua.
Okay.
Jdaiga 7.0. Back in September of 2022, the state says they were made aware this business was selling marijuana without a license.
All right.
According to the state, the timeline of events that followed was the owner of the business was sent a notice to stop operating. The state then asked for records of their operations, finances. Yeah, you got it. Story on News 8 says that the business did not do what the state asked, and on top of that, continued to sell marijuana without a license.
I ain't gonna do it.
Eventually, a court order shut them down, and they had some legal issues to deal with. Yesterday, we found out the full extent of those issues.
So, what's the wag?
The owner of Jdaiga 7.0 has been fined $9.5 million for selling marijuana without a license and ignoring the notices to stop.
All right.
The state says that the business recorded $2.4 million in sales revenue from June of 2022 to October of 2023, with a little over $1 million in profit. So they have to give up that million.
Yeah.
Plus 8.4 mil in additional penalties.
Okay, all right.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
You are toast.
So here's the thing. No word as of now on what the business can do, if anything, to try and bring that number down, if they can go to court to try and say
negotiate that number down a little bit.
Whatever it is. But no matter what happens, one thing is for sure, the state is not messing around.
You're drained.
All right. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Tommy is a $9.5 million fine for ignoring the state telling you to stop selling marijuana without a license, too steep of a penalty.
So I wonder, like, if let's say I'm a little guy somewhere and I'm still selling.
Yeah.
Well, I'll never have that money.
Yeah.
So do I care?
Oh, so you're saying it's too much to deter people.
To scare me. Mm-hmm. Like, if you could actually give me money where I'd have to cough it up, because this person does not have $9 million worth of assets to sell to cover the cost,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So what if I'm just a little operation going, you know what, man? I got a bait and tackle shop up front, and I sell weed out the back, and I make...
What are you doing with that?
I'm like a little mom and pop joint out in the country.
I got a bait and tackle shop, and I sell weed out the back?
Yeah. Like a little country business.
It's such a stupid country song. Dad has sold worms and lures. I sold bombs out the back door window. USA dry dad in a small town.
But you're not going to scare that guy because he doesn't have it. He'll never have it.
I mean, it's an interesting point.
Like, it's too big to scare me.
It's an interesting point. I do wonder what happens if this place does not have the $9.5 million.
They don't.
But if they don't, what's the next step? Do they lock him up?
I guess they put liens on all their property, but still, you don't get it. So,
okay. But it would still, it would ruin your life.
Oh, you're done.
So,
I mean, you'll never get a license for anything in the state of New York, probably, right?
Well, you mean to sell marijuana?
To do anything.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, look, if the number is so high that you can't pay it, but it still ruins your life by like taking everything that they can take from you,
right?
We're watching that happen with a former politician as we speak.
Right. I guess it could devastate you that way.
I mean, you don't want to lock. I would think you wouldn't want to lock them up because the reason that you decriminalized marijuana was to prevent people to prevent locking people up who were selling marijuana.
Yeah.
But then again, this is also a very unique situation. Kimmy, is $9.5 million too severe?
Well, I mean, based on like other calls we've gotten, and I guess these are all the calls we got.
Wait a minute,
this are all over the place.
Well, hold on. But about callers from the break room to discuss legalized marijuana with no law background would make you question what they had to say.
But the thing of it was, and one thing that we did kind of get a feel for was how much money some of these businesses were making. And that was a reason why a lot of them chose not to shut down.
I mean, in this story, it says they made $1 million in profit in a year.
In a calendar year. Yeah.
So I guess, like, you know, to hit somebody with a hefty fine, well, maybe it is a justified amount just, you know, because it's not like they were going broke doing this, you know. I don't know. It seems like a lot, though, and it seems like money you'll never get back, so maybe it isn't worth it.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about this business, JDega 7.0. It's in Canandaigua. We've talked about them a couple of years ago. They were one of the first businesses to get popped for selling without a license. Mm-hmm. The state yesterday fined them $9.5 million after the state says when they found out they were selling without a license, they told them to stop operating. They asked for all of their financials. Not only did the shop, according to the state, not do that, they continued to operate without a license. Again, they made about $1 million, according to the state, in a calendar year. That gets taken away. Plus an additional $8.4 million in fines. We know it's been a weird journey.
Yeah.
Because, like, the state legalizes pot, but then you couldn't legally buy it or
grow it
when they did.
Well, and I don't think
you could.
I'm just talking as a person.
Yeah.
You could have the 3 ounces, but any way you acquired it, technically you were breaking the law. So they essentially looked the other way while these unlicensed businesses sold stuff while they got the ducks in a row for the license places. Those places made a lot of money without any regulation, and everything was cool and balanced in like this weird outlaw way, right? But after the licensed businesses showed up, the state did warn them, and they gave them a chance to stop.
They knew what they were doing. I mean, this isn't like, what?
I would think the bigger...
I mean, you didn't think that it was going to be that high
of a just a bait and tackle show.
It is amazing.
So pot out the back, fireworks 4th of July.
It is amazing because the fine would be scary, right? As if you're somebody that's getting threatened with these fines. I think the bigger threat and what I would have thought would make people stop is the fact that you're never going to be able to sell legally if you continue to do this. Like that's where I would have thought people
you'll never get a license.
Shut down and just wait it out until the potential to actually open officially because you killed that dream right up front.
I do wonder how the folks in Canandaigua feel about this. Because, like, we know it's a town of haves and have-nots.
Right.
Well, isn't it? But it's also a place where you can't, they're not going to have legal places.
I don't remember.
I'm almost positive. Well,
did they opted out?
You want to Google this to make sure?
I'm pretty sure Canandaigua had opted out
of it. If anyone's going to know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But then again, memory, I hear, can go when you start doing that on a regular basis. So whatever. She'll Google. All right. But studies have shown more affluent areas have higher rates of people that do not like the idea of legal marijuana. So in a town of haves and have-nots like Canandaigua, so they did opt out. Okay. Are there more people with money who look down their nose at something like this?
Yeah, pushed it out.
Or are there more working class people that would make the argument, I just need a place to buy marijuana and I can't do it in this town?
Yeah, but working people don't get the same voice as a rich guy.
Yeah, man, tell them.
Rich man pulls the strings.
Attica! Attica!
You know what I'm saying?
No, look, I agree with you, right?
I don't want that in my town.
If you pulled 10 people off the street, just walking down the street in Main Street in Canandaigua, how would they feel about this place facing a fine? How would they feel about the state
shutting
down?
Well, obviously, they bought a lot of pot.
Well, yeah, but you opened
up. The guy made $1 million in profit.
And that's, I guess, what we know about.
Yeah, good call.
Right. You know? So, I mean, they want their pot.
And again, just to be fair, these are all according to the state. These are accusations, right?
And, you know, lake people love to burn.
Man.
You know they love to party.
Yeah, it is weird in, like, a vacation type town.
It's a resort town.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's also the reason why you wouldn't want it, right? I don't want this high end money coming to our town and then there's 15.
It's like you're really missing out.
Hot shops.
No, but you also get all the people in the hospitality business that like to party after work.
Look, I am with you. I am with you. I'm trying to put my rich people tourism town brain on and some.
Yeah,
you know,
you don't want to be branded as Dope Central.
Yeah, exactly. Some, you know, some guy comes up from Rhinebeck, New York. And you're like, you know what? It used to be a good town, but every time I look, every other store is selling the devil's lettuce. Left-handed cigarettes. You know, I mean, past this $9.5 million fine, there isn't really an excuse for these other places to continue to operate, at least not good enough to avoid what this place is now dealing with. Because what is even more alarming,
what's that?
This isn't the only high-profile case of the state shutting down an operation. This business had one location. There was one that I remember that we talked about. A businessman who owned multiple shops in multiple communities east of us, going all the way to Syracuse. Yeah. And that was the story we talked about where the state shut him down. They literally went in and raided the place, and he walked past the police
tape. Walked in,
He was trying to lock him out, right? Or lock him in?
Something like that. Did he have five or six locations?
Man, he must have been cleaning up.
Okay, but here's the thing. If one location pulls a $9.5 million fine.
Yeah.
What the hell is that guy looking at?
Yeah.
$100 million.
I also wonder how
hard it is. You can buy the Sabres.
I wonder how hard it is for the state to get an actual number or an actual solid just amount to go on because it was all.
What do you mean by that?
Not above board.
Like trying to figure out how much money
these
places
like
made.
How much they made, how much they sold. Like, well, it may be really hard to tell. Like, they might have an idea, but I wonder how hard it is to actually track.
So your argument is that maybe this place was actually making this money and that's why they want it?
Maybe not that amount, but they may have made more than they think.
I disagree. I think that, I mean, look, I agree with you that maybe they were making more than $1 million, but I think this number, like Tommy said, is intimidation. You want to scare the hell out of people that are still holding out and selling and being like, look, it ain't worth it, man. And, I mean, there are still folks listening right now who buy their stuff from those places without licenses, right? But it's not like there aren't legal places in Monroe County to get it now. Henrietta has three open dispensaries. There are two more that are on the way, all of them on Jefferson Road.
With all the snacks.
And like other towns are preparing for their license places to open. Didn't we have a story in Victor, the first dispensary in Victor was going to open up a couple weeks ago? So like, I mean,
there's places.
The options are there. So like, there literally isn't an excuse anymore. Mm-hmm. And we've been yelling at you, man. Get out of the game. Get out. It ain't worth it. And this story is proof positive. It ain't worth it. $9.5 million.
I know, but look, the guy made $1 million in profit a year in a little store.
Yeah, and now he
owes... That's so alluring.
And now he owes $8.4 million out his pocket, brah.
I know.
His pocket, straight out the pocket.
But if you can make $1 million under the tee...
What are you not...
Yeah, but let's say you made
intoxicating.
Like, let's say over the last 5 years you made $5 million. You
under the
still are going to owe almost $4 million extra, right?
But it's got to be tough to break away. Like, when you see that money coming in, it's got to be tough. Okay. I mean, people get greedy, and you always think, I'm not going to be the one that's going to get popped.
Okay, see my hands? I'm going to do a little thing, because maybe I know you're functionally illiterate. We talked about it this morning. Okay. My left hand is the money coming in.
What is that finger?
Okay, so this is fingers $1 million. All right, if you're watching the live stream, you're welcome. So
is that the finger you touched my mother with?
Yeah, that's why it's a little bent and crooked and green. So here's the $1 million you're coming in.
See, my mother's... It has an infected vagina.
All right, so $1 million coming from over here. It's going in your pocket. Look. See this?
Yeah.
This is nine. This is $9 million. Now
I know, but
it's going. No, look at it go. Look where it's going. Going back this way. Not in your pocket. Look at all the fingers.
I know.
Look at
but
my
why
fingers.
Why do drug dealers sell drugs where they can get killed and they can get incarcerated or they can get killed by other drug dealers? It's the cash, man, and they don't think they're going to be the ones that get popped.
I mean, yes, you're right. But this, you're exposed completely. A drug dealer selling on a corner, nobody's talking about that guy unless he's moving hundreds of pounds of marijuana. This is a storefront where people were walking in. Anyone could walk in at any time, and you're shot.
And he was also getting away with it.
But he wasn't, because the state
knew.
No,
but he was. Like, he wasn't getting... Yes, they knew about it, but they still weren't getting to him.
All right.
I'm greedy.
Yeah, and you're dumb.
I know. That's what it takes to make it in this world. Greedy and dumb.
NFL players, they are just like us.
Oh, yeah?
Not really, no. They make a whole bunch of money, and they get a whole bunch of benefits, and look, you know, whatever. Yeah. We love them for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out there are still very specific areas where stuff like this will happen.
Uh-oh.
Because, like, there are people in Dallas-Fort Worth yesterday who showed up at this very boring place and were like, oh, my God.
Really?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF, Bills take on the Seahawks on Sunday. The injury report for the Bills, vast.
Wait, banged up again?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Terrell Bernard, linebacker, we don't know if he's going to play. Man. Dawson Knox, he didn't practice yesterday. Couple
What's his
other
problem?
But if you head over to Dallas.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Their starting kicker was on the injury report yesterday.
Oh, poor guy.
Not good. He missed practice.
All right.
But not because of an injury.
Whatever.
Dallas Cowboys kicker Brandon Aubrey missed practice because he had jury duty.
Oh. Hmm. You don't hear that very often.
It says on the injury report,
yeah.
DNP did not practice / jury duty.
But didn't he get selected? I thought it
was selected for
I thought he got selected because they didn't know how long it was going to go. That was part of the story, unless they were just
what?
Talking about
so he
about
got picked.
Case. Yes, I thought he actually got picked.
I'm not sure. How does that work?
Yeah.
How do you?
Well, you can't play on a weekend. I mean, you play on Sunday.
Unless you end up on a jury that has to get sequestered.
Yeah, he was selected to a 12-person jury for a felony assault case.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you can still be sequestered. Nobody talks to those guys anyway. They're always out by themselves practicing.
So does that mean he can't go to practice until his trial
imagine,
is over?
I would imagine, right?
Well, he can go at night, right?
No,
he can work out at night.
Practice. I mean, yes, I guess.
I mean, he doesn't work out with a team like this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one guy that could probably pull this off. It's this dude.
I guess you're right. But even those guys still go for, like, treatment and stuff.
I thought it was going to be Dak or somebody.
No. But it is weird how, like, an NFL player is allowed to go for jury duty.
Right.
I would think you get eliminated pretty quickly, you know.
In season, yeah.
Just based on you're kind of a distraction.
Because you could kick it off. You could push it back, saying, you know, for reasons where you could do it after the season.
So here's the thing. You can only do that once, at least New York State rules, where the next one is mandatory whenever it comes up. So maybe he got it during season a couple years ago and then couldn't get out of it. But here's the thing. To Kimmy's point, right? Like, this is worse. This is a net negative, not a net positive. Because, yes, it's funny and cool that they're all doing their civic duty that we hate to do, right? But, like, even a guy like Brandon Aubrey, who nobody really cares about as a kicker, he's in Dallas. People know who he is.
Cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
And when he walks in that room of 150 potential jurors, any focus is gone.
Yeah, how about if you're sitting next to him on the jury, I'm like, you know, what are you thinking over there? What do you think? I don't know.
Should you be practicing right now? Yeah. I'm just kidding.
I'm saying, who should I bet on?
What's Jerry Jones like?
There's no way this goes off without a hitch. And the fact that you put him on a jury is even more insane.
That's wild.
How about he's on an assault case. If you're a Cowboys fan and the jury comes back guilty, do you cheer against Brandon Aubrey for the rest of his career?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Like, who's your favorite Buffalo Bill right now, Tommy?
Oh, that'd be Josh Allen.
All right, so let's say you get arrested, right? And Josh Allen's on the jury.
Okay.
And it comes back unanimous, guilty. Mm. Do you hold it against Josh Allen?
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Okay.
I
watch your stupid games.
By the way, it's Dallas.
Yeah.
He could be actually sitting on a jury with a former player watching that guy getting fried.
Nate Newton, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the whole thing is bizarre backwards. And it's weird that we've never heard a story like this before.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Because, you know, as an American, you would have to serve jury duty.
To your point, I would just assume those guys, even if they do get picked, they're out after, you know, day one.
252 WCMF, 252-9263. Again, Cowboys kicker Brandon Aubrey missed practice yesterday with jury duty. Kimmy has confirmed that he has been sat on a jury for an assault case. Would you rather be a kicker at NFL practice or sit on a jury for an assault case? Because kicking an NFL practice, and we've seen it with our own eyes, looks pretty damn boring.
Yeah, at least you're outside, you're doing something. Because those assault cases can get pretty boring, too.
Okay.
When they start getting bogged down like a lot of legal crap.
Bring me the good assault case.
Right.
I want the quality,
get
uncut
to the hitting.
Assault case. And
all I say is give me the hits.
What are you?
It's an assault case.
I got it.
Somebody getting hit.
So, like, does it say anything about him having to potentially miss the game on
Sunday?
Yeah,
because I thought he could potentially miss only because they don't know how long it's going to go on for.
Why can't he play Sunday?
Let's see.
I wonder if there's, like, a contingency plan for this. Like, in the NFL, like, if you're allowed to, like, sign a player that doesn't count against your roster, right? Because, like, this
rare
is
occasion,
his.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It says the Cowboys tried to get him exempt from serving, but he decided, he insisted on doing it.
Oh, yeah. So he could have won.
Well, he's a good civic man.
Okay, but also, all right, let's talk about that.
The judge has stated he will work around Aubrey's and the Cowboys' football schedule.
Okay, there's a lot happening right here.
Good to be in Texas.
Let's back it up.
Yeah.
So let's start with the fact that he could have gotten out of it and said no. Mm. You respect him for doing his American civic duty, right?
I mean, yeah, that's a guy.
You also say that guys, athletes who miss games for the birth of their children are sissies who should go to work.
Mm. Yeah.
So you can miss a game for jury duty.
That's right.
But you can't miss a game for the birth of your child.
All that kid's going to be around forever, and you ain't going to be happy all the time with that child.
Okay.
That child will disappoint.
Two, the fact that he was chosen for the jury, but they're altering the case.
This is insane.
How is
it's Texas,
how is
man.
No, but that's what
Cowboys
I mean.
Cowboys first, Jesus second, everybody else third.
Just don't put him on the jury if you have to move it around for the game.
I think things work a little different in the South.
Okay. And also, you can't tell me that a Dallas Cowboy, even being the kicker, on a jury wouldn't influence people in the room.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree with everything he says. Exactly. Now I want your autograph.
Why would the... I don't know why the jury would be speaking.
What?
Huh?
The other people in the jury?
Oh, he's not a law. I'm just saying.
Like, you know, everybody's a fan in that room.
Yeah, you
that's what I'm
so.
Saying. Oh, like, okay. You're just going to go with whatever he thinks. So you think he's guilty or not guilty? Okay, we're all going not guilty.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.